Very end of Sefer Shmos, finally. The last page. Pedik Mem. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayechal Moshe es Hamelacha. Moshe Rabbeinu finished. Vayechal, Lashon Vayechu, HaShamayim. Right? It was completed. Lashon Kol. Right? Everything. Moshe Rabbeinu finished building the Mishkan. What happens next? Welcome. Is remarkable. Vayechasa ha'anon es oyel moed. At that point, the clouds of glory. Kvod Hashem, in the presence of God, mole es hamishkan. Wow, what a verse. Well, makes it all worth it, right? You've been learning the last, all these parshas about the Mishkan. Makes it all worth it. Finally! Right? If you build it, they will come. God says, if you build it, I will come. And they build it. And finally, they finish building it. Mamash with just the last few psukim of Sefer Shmos. Ve'echal Moshe samalacha ve'echase anon es ol moed, and the clouds of glory of God come and cover and smother and envelop the ol moed. Kvod Hashem mole es ha-mishkan, and the presence of God, the glory of God, fill the Mishkan. What a good feeling. What a good feeling. Fine. Continues the psukim. Let's read to the end. Kishachan alav ha'anon, kvod Hashem alei. It's a Mishkan again. Okay. Pasuk lamed vav. Uve'alo se'anon me'al ha'mishkan, Yisu b'nei Yisrael. B'chol Maseyim. Here we see a pasuk which has been referenced and referred to in Parshas B'Shalach, and again we see many times in Parshas Ba'aloscha. This is the way it works. And the last three psukim of Sefer Shmos focus on this as well. It tells us how the Jewish people traveled, how they decided to go, when they were going, and decided when they were going, how they decided where they were going. It was all one fell swoop. Like on the dashboard, there's an odometer. There was one meter, you know. Okay, it's called the, it's called the cloudometer. Okay, the godometer. That's what's happening here. Okay, mishkan. When the clouds of glory rose up from above the Mishkan, Yisu b'nei Yisrael, and the Jewish people would begin to travel, b'chol maseim, on all their travels, and wherever the cloud went, they would go. V'imlo ye'aleh anan, but if the cloud would not move, it would not rise up from above the Almoy, v'lo yisu adayom ha'alaso, they would not move at all until the clouds would move. And just in case you didn't understand that till now, okay, the Torah dedicates yet another pasuk, the final pasuk in this sefer. Ki anan Hashem ala mishkan Yomam, excuse me. Because the clouds of God were above the Mishkan during the day. Ve'esh tiyeh laila bo. And the pillar of fire was on top of, was above the Mishkan at night. Le'enei kol Beis Yisrael, in the eyes of all of Beis Yisrael, B'chol Maaseihem. on all of their ways. Okay. Fine. Sorry, excuse me. So now, what do we have here? We have a pasuk which tells us that the clouds of God were over the Mishkan on all of their journeys. But we have a problem. What's the problem? That was a pretty slick move you just made right there. That was a slick move. You saw that? That was mamish slick. Sits down, gets comfortable, and then I look down and... That was nifty. Okay, so in Pasuk Lamed Vav, what do we find? We find that when the clouds moved... Listen, guys, it's a delicate point I'm making here. You need to listen very carefully. When the clouds moved away from above the Mishkan and started to travel, Amisol would journey after them. B'chol ma'aseim. You see that? Look at the Pesukim. B'chol ma'aseim on all of their journeys. The cloud would move, it would start traveling, and then the Jewish people would travel after them. But then the Torah says, okay, just putting the next two Pesukim together, the last two Pesukim together, okay, this one and the next one, but when the clouds would not move and would remain on the Mishkan, then the Jewish people would stay there on all their travels. What's the problem with this? Is this possible?
What's in all the travels?
Yeah, Mr. Rafi Cohn. You heard that? Because you weren't looking inside. In Pasuk Lamed Vav, it makes perfect sense. When the clouds moved, so the Jewish people journeyed after it. Okay? But then it says, when the clouds stayed, the very last two words of the Sefer. When the clouds stayed on the Mishkan and did not move off the Mishkan, then the Jewish people stayed put with the cloud on their journeys. What's the problem? On their journeys. What journeys? It just said that they were stationary. They were encamped. Pasuk Lamed Zayin and Lamed Ches are building on teaching this idea that when the clouds were not moving, they were encamped. The clouds were above the Ol Moed. The Jewish people would stay there. Okay, I get that. But then it says they would stay there on all of their journeys. What on all of their journeys? Whose kasha is this? Whose kasha is this?
Rashi.
Rashi's kasha. Rafi's kasha. And Rashi's kasha. Take a look at the last Rashi in Sefer Shmos. Leinei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseya. Says Rashi b'chol ma'asa in every journey. Shehu yonosim, that they would travel. Hoye ha'anon shoichen b'mokom asher yachan usham. the cloud would rest in every place that they were camped. Says Rashi, Makom Chaniatan Af Hu Karui Masa. Their place of their station, their campsite, their place of encampment, that too was called and is called a journey. That too was called a journey. V'chein Eila Maseh. He quotes, right? Parshas Maseh. These are the journeys of the Jewish people. Right? That's the very last parsha in Sefer Bamidbar. Eile Maseh B'nei Yisrael. These are, right, that's how the parasha begins. These are the journeys of the Jewish people. says finishes Rashi the fisha hamakam achanaya chazru v'nasu lakach nikru kulan masaot. He tells us that they actually journeyed from a particular place, even though they had camped there. So that's called a masa. You see a. Okay, so far we just read the Pesukim and the Rashi. We encounter a very important idea here. And that is, normally when you and I think about a journey, when you and I think about a voyage, a trip, you go from point A to point B. And that's, what's the point, right? Right. What's the purpose here? We're trying to get from A to B, right? So A is one spot, and then you leave A, and the main thing is to get to B. That's it. Okay. While you're traveling, you're journeying. As long as you're in the middle of traveling, you're journeying. You know that's the journey. When you stop, that's not a journey. You stopped. You stopped. You see, where do you live? Where do you live? Where do you live? Africa. You live in Africa.
So what is in Africa?
Where is your spot?
You live in Asia.
Where is your area? You traveled from Africa, you know, probably on a elephant or something.
To get here. I was on a zebra.
Yeah? On a zebra. Right, yeah. On a zebra.
That's a cheap option.
You call it zebra?
A zebra
is a cheap, right?
Zebra.
A cheap.
No,
a cheap
zebra. Right. Zebra.
A zebra.
A zebra.
So the point is, your place really is Africa, and then you traveled someplace else. What the Torah says here is something radically different. Radically different. Rashi is telling us, and I want to tell you that as a Yid, this little talk here today is a talk about Yiddishkeit. You want to know what it's like to be a Yid? Here's a little story about Yiddishkeit. Here's a little story about life. Here's a little story about living in this world and living as a Yid. What we're learning here is that the place, the stations, the places that they quote unquote stopped are part of their journey. This is what Rashi is telling us. What do you mean? When the clouds moved, that was the journey they would follow. But when the clouds stopped, the Torah also calls that a journey. How is that a journey? Because guess what? Even when the clouds stopped, the Torah calls that part of life's journey. See, some of us, we think that where does life happen? Yeah, life happens, you know, in the places you got to. You know, but the journey in between, that's just like by the way. But what we're going to look at today is journeys. Journeying. That's what we're looking at. We're looking today at journeys. And we're going to discover that life happens. Life happens wherever you are. Wherever you are, when you're in between places, life is happening. When you got to your quote-unquote place that you're going, guess what? You haven't gotten there. I know it sounds silly. What does that mean? I'll show you, right? But when the place that, wherever you think you live, what do you think you get to? Oh, home, home sweet home, I got to Africa. That's a mistake. When you get to Africa, you're on your journey just the same. Even the places that that are stationary, that are campsites, are encampments, that's also called a journey. That's also called a journey. And as long as we have not reached our ultimate destination, we'll always be on a journey. As long as we haven't reached our ultimate destination, we'll be on a journey. Let me tell you a story. Okay? You know what? The story I'm about to, the short story. The story I'm about to tell you is the, even though I'm saying it as a short story, it's actually the longest story in all of world history. It's still going on. It's still happening. It's still actually, it's unfit, you know, it's like reality TV. Here's a reality movie. Okay? It's a reality movie. It's so long, it's over 5,000 years old. You know, do you know how long it takes to actually watch that movie? It's actual time. You know, it takes a very, very long time to watch that movie. Yeah.
It's still better than Keeping Up.
Yeah? Okay, it's a very long movie. It goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Adam. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Adam. Listen. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Adam. And he was very, very close to God. And they got into a fight. And God, you know, sent him packing. You know, and God, he got into a fight. He was separated from God. And he tried to get back to where he was separated from. God set up like a lahat misapeches, right? Guards, bouncers, that he shouldn't be able to get back. But ever since then, he's trying to get back. Okay? That's not only him, but everyone since him is trying to get back. Okay? That's the story. That's the story. Let me tell you another story, which is really another part of the same story. One time there was a guy named Abraham. Okay? And God says, "You're going to be my dude." Thank you. "You're going to be my dude and live in my dream house with me." And you know what happened? Things didn't go well. And between him and his descendants, and there was another fight. Another problem between God and him, and God says, "You know, now you have to leave." And those two stories are the stories of literally of our existence, of our lives. Every moment, every breath, every moment of our lives is really in the context of that story. Do you appreciate what I'm saying? Everything, every moment of that story, of our lives, is just... That's the main plot. You know, sometimes I learn Gemara with the guys. Actually, not this month. But when I learn with the guys, I always ask them, okay. I always ask them, like, what's the big picture in the Gemara? What's the point? What's the goal? What's really happening? Right? Because every conversation in the Gemara is within a context. Something's happening here. Right? So what's the point of your life? Where are you going? I'm asking a real question. What is your goal of your existence? What's the point? What's your purpose? What's the significance of everything that you know? And I have to tell you something. It's this story. Everything we do is in the context of these two stories. We're all on one giant trip. But what I'm going to show you here today is you guys are so lost on the journey. We guys are so in the thick of the journey, we think, right, that our lives actually are the journey. You don't realize that we're actually, as we think like, oh, here's where we are. We're stationed, you know, we're set. Here's where we are. The Gemara has a very fascinating story in Bava Basra. It's a wild science fiction, I got it, to story. Okay, one time, who was it? Rabbi Rachana, I think. He built a whole city. He lived in a whole city. He lived in a city, and they were cooking, having a big. I forget the details there, but I haven't seen it in a long time. And he made a whole city with a whole campfire, you know, and on a rock, you know, on a place. And then suddenly, guess what? The giant fish that must have been like, you know, 20 miles by 20 miles long decided to, you know, keep moving and go back underwater. See? And then they had built a whole city on the back of a fish. You know what I mean? as everything gets uprooted. Okay, whatever it means, it's a Gemara, right? It's an Agarata, right? No, but the point is, why am I saying that? In other words, what you think is actually reality, that's not the reality. That's not the reality. What the Torah tells us here is that even when the Jewish people settled, that was called a trip. So what journey? What journey? They've been living here in Kadesh for, 18 years? Which journey are we talking about? The kids are born there. They lived there for 18 years. What journey? Daddy, where do we live? Well, we live here, in Kadesh. Oh, now let me show you where you go. We go to school, we do this, we do that. Right? But that's not where you really live. It's really a journey. Does that make sense to you? We're traveling. This entire book has one story to it. What's the story? The Jewish people were very close to God. Right, at least starting with Parshas Lech Lecha. Starting, right, the first story that I told you, that's starting from Parshas Bereishis, with God and humanity. But God and the Jewish people begins in Parshas Lech Lecha, and from here, Lech Lecha is here, my friends, from this page, okay, from this page until this page, till the end of the book, okay, this whole thing has one main overarching literary arc, a storyline. What's that? To get the Jewish people back to Israel. That's it. Did you know that? I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to sound, oversimplify or oversophisticate. That's the truth. It's just a simple reality, right? Everything from here till here is just one simple thing. Jewish people, the very first thing that God tells Avram is go travel. Go to Israel. That's it. That's Lech Lecha, like we said, right? So go there. The first words, Lech Lecha, go. Travel, go. Go to my land. And that's it. That pretty much sums up all, for better or worse, the vast majority of 4,000 years of Jewish history. That's it. Journey. And try to get on base. Try to get to the land of Israel. That's it. That's the whole story of this book. Try to get back home. If you're really good, try to get back to Gan Eden like Adam. That's the ultimate goal. Right? But even as a Jew, just try to get back to the land of Israel. That's it. That's the end. All the stops on the way, those are just the stops. You happen to be, you're in a rest stop. Sometimes you're in a rest stop for 20 years. Sometimes you're in a rest stop for 200 years. But that's just part of the journey. That's not you. You don't live in Africa. You see? Sachi just kept journeying, So that's it. He's off to Haifa, He left. But he's getting what I'm saying. You think you ever actually exist in one place? Rabbi Sai, as long as we have not reached our destination, we're still on the journey and we're still traveling. Even a place of rest. Oh my goodness. Even a place of rest or of residence is merely temporary. Rabbosai, the purpose, we think we're so stuck. Right? In our big world of when you arrive, when you get there, you get the degree, you get the job, you get the house, right? You arrived at someplace. But guys, here's the truth. Write this down if you're taking notes. The purpose is in the process. The purpose is in the process. And guess what? The process of our lives started long before we were born and will continue long after we're gone. It's really one focus and one purpose. And what's that? Get the one goal of humanity. You got kicked out and exiled from God. Try to get back in. Right? In Jewish history, we got exiled from Israel just try to get back to Israel. This whole story. Look, I don't need to tell you. I don't have to prove it to you. Look at Parshas. Look at this whole Sefer. Sefer Shmos begins. Take the Jewish people out of Egypt and get to Israel. What happens? They go. They have a problem here. And they have a problem with the golden calf. And as we'll turn the pages, what happens next? Page after page after page, parsha after parsha after parsha. What's going on? They're just getting lost, and then they get lost again, and then they get missed a mistake, and then they get the chayta egel, and then the chayta maraglim, and then this happens, and the mekoshesh, and the mekalel, and the misonanim, and here's what happened on the way, and they build the mishkan, but what's the point? What's the point? There's only one story here, one. Right? These are just the life and times of Moses, you know, of Moshe Rabbeinu. All that's happening, the Jewish people are trying to figure out a way to get from point A to point B. Okay? From Egypt to Israel. From Mitzrayim to Yerushalayim. Isn't that so simple? It seems so simple, right? Except, guess what? For the last 4,000 years, the journey is still happening. Sure, there were times when we got close, there were times we even got there, but then only to get set back again, and kicked out again, and more journeys, and more journeys, and more journeys. We're so used to journeying, the Jewish people, like, we think it's normal. We go from place to place to place to place. You have Gentile neighbors? You have Gentile neighbors? Right? How many languages do they speak? Right? One, right? They speak Spanish probably, right? Right? Probably one language, okay? Right? So, where do you live? Cedars. Okay, they probably speak, Spanish. Okay, or maybe they speak English, right? But I'm just joking. Right, so what do they speak? They speak one language. You know, how many languages do people speak? You have your friends in school. Talk to them. How many languages do they speak? One? And your parents? Maybe they took French in college, you know, so they can speak like one and a half. Right? You have grandparents? How many languages do they speak?
Two.
One and a half.
Really? One and a half?
Grandfather spoke
right?
Four.
Four languages, right?
Plus
three. Yeah, three languages. Your grandpa, how many languages did he speak?
Four.
Three, four, right? Now we think, wow. Look, right, listen to something. We think, oh, the intelligent Jews were so smart, that's why. Ah. And people, even the non-Jews, the Jews are so smart, you know, they know so much about so many things. Look how many languages you could speak. Wow. You think that the Jewish people speaking many languages is a sign of the brilliance, of their intelligence? Not at all. Not at all. The fact that Jewish people can speak so many languages is the sign of their torturous abuse and their torturous struggle of having to travel from place to place to place. You think my great-grandparents spoke English? My great-great-great-grandparents spoke English? You think my great-great-grandchildren will speak English? No way. No way. Why would they speak English? I speak English because I'm an immigrant. So, well, we actually think, oh, we live in the back of a fish. Oh, yeah, okay, I don't know that it's a fish. You don't know it's a fish. This is our reality. This is life. We were born here. We'll die here. What are you talking about? You're living on a fish. You're nowhere. You're in a stopping point in the middle of the ocean for some reason that you happen to be where you are. That's not where you came from, and that's not where you're going to. So what can your parents speak? You know, Romanian? What can they speak? Romanian? You know, Italian? Czechoslovakian? Nebuch! The Jewish people were kicked from, and Russian? Like kicked out from place to place to place to place. They don't have enough time in one lifetime to live in one land, to speak one language. They speak Russian, and then they get to France, they have to learn French, and they get to America, right? And they speak, and they learn English. Right? I don't speak Yiddish, but my grandparents spoke Yiddish, because that's what they, okay, so Yiddish was like a language in Europe that the Jewish people would speak. But even that is so many different dialects. Because the Jewish people lived in so many different areas. Do you understand this, guys? This is so important to realize. Rabbi Yisai, our whole lives are a journey. But you'll say, no, but now we're not traveling. We're not in the desert anymore. Now we settled. We live in Cedarhurst. You live in Cedarhurst? We live in Africa. Is that a joke? You live in Africa? I remember when I lived in Los Angeles, I remember I once met one of the leaders of the community said to me, I said, listen, it was very nice to be here. you know, I had moved to Israel. I came to on Shlichut to Los Angeles. We'll never forget the conversation the guy had with me. I said, listen, I'm going back to Israel, you know, we're here 2 years, and now I'm, you know, making Aliyah officially, formally. So the guy looks at me, he's one of the leaders of the community. Okay, he wasn't the rabbi, but, you know, like one of the rich dudes. One second. And the guy said to me, without any, you know, no problem, just straight to my face, he says, look, I understand that you're leaving. Okay, I guess you feel that's what you need to do. But if this entire city and this entire community would make Aliyah right now, I would be extremely disappointed. That's what he said to me. And I remember thinking, of course I said nothing. You know, he's the guy, the important person, whatever, you know, he's much older than me. I remember thinking to myself, are you even Jewish? Like, do you have any idea what you say three times a day? Have you ever actually read it, you know, read what it says in the Shemoneh Esrei? Do you know how many times in Shemoneh Esrei alone you daven for the Geula and you daven to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael? I mean, what do you know about your own Judaism? That's the problem. We got so comfortable on the fish, we think we're living on the back of the fish. We mamish think that. And we cry, you know, we love America, and we stand up and we sing the national anthem, and, you know, God bless America, or wherever you live, you know, God bless the Queen, you know. Right? Like, and you actually think, oh, home, this is where I live, home sweet home, you know. Habaisai, you're not home. You're on a journey. You're on a journey. And your whole life is a journey. You know that Jewish people forever have had, you know, since the Churban Bayis, have had the expression that they say every year, twice a year, at least twice a year, at the most important moments and you know, with the most important action, most important moments in Jewish ceremony, at the Pesach Seder, and after, at the end of Yom Kippur. What do we say? The Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. We sit down at the Seder, when all Jews actually get together, and we say, Hashata Hacha. The Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. Right? What do we say? Hashata Avdei. The Shana Haba B'nei Chayrin. Right? The Shana Haba B'Arad Yisrael. Now we're here. But this is not really where we want to be. We need that affirmation. We need to tell ourselves, not just our children. This is not where we're supposed to be. Right? This story, you know, right now we're closing a book. We're closing the second book of the Chumash. The Sefer of Galus, the Sefer of Geula. Right? In Sefer Bereishis, we learned about individuals who have their own galus. Adam goes into galus, read Bereishis, right? Perek Gimel. Cain goes into galus, read Bereishis, Perek Dalet. Avram goes into galus, right? Read Perek, whatever it is, Yud Gimel. Yaakov goes into galus, we see in Parshas, Vayigash. And some of these galus are very long. Some of them are just a few, you know, it's very long. Individuals go into galus, but here we see a national galus. And the Jew has become so used to and so comfortable with the galus, he doesn't even, it's just a pedestrian cavalier kind of thing. He's exiled. What's the expression? Join the army and see the world? Right? It's like, join, you know, the joke. You know, they make the joke, you know, become a rabbi and see the world. You know, because rabbis always like go from pulpit to pulpit, right? But the truth is, be a Jew, become a Jew and see the world. Unfortunately, it's a sad thing, but the Jew, we're exiles from city to city, from country to country to country to country, right? Yeah, I always say that before I made Aliyah, Yom Tov Sheni was totally normal. That's how it's supposed to be, right? Yom Tov Sheni. I grew up in New York. You know, could you open the door? Yom Tov Sheni, you keep 2 days of Yom Tov. You know, and now, after I made Aliyah, no, you can just open the door. After I made Aliyah, I came to realize, like, wow, what I thought was normal,
I can't imagine it,
is not normal. That's not what it says in the Torah. It's not what it says in the Torah. It says in the Torah you should keep Shavuos for one day. It says in the Torah you should keep, one Seder, not two Seder. Right? What's the only second Seder that that you know about around Yerushalayim is in the Mir Yeshiva. I have to get back to second Seder. Okay? There's no second Seder. There's only one Seder. What are you talking about? Look in the read the Torah. It's one. But we're so used to, you grew up in New York. That's what you think is normal. That's not normal. It's not supposed to be that way. Right? So it came to, I realized, like, after I went back to Chutz Laretz, it like felt a little uncomfortable. And I realized, you know what? It should feel a little uncomfortable. And then I realized, you know, it's a little anti-Semitism. It doesn't feel so good in Chutz Laretz. You know what? It shouldn't feel so good in Chutz Laretz. Right? That's the, you're not supposed to fit that. That's not. You're not really where you're supposed to be. You know, one of the beautiful things that I think about every year when we read this parsha is a fascinating observation for all those who've been spaced out and you want to space in. You can space in even just for this Dvar Torah alone, and it's a beautiful Dvar Torah. You could say it five times a year. This Dvar Torah works five, you get it, you get a lot of mileage out of that. And it's a very simple Dvar Torah, very simple Dvar Torah, very beautiful, very eloquent and relevant, and you can use it five times a year to impress all the girls. Okay? Okay, at your Shabbos table. It goes like this. Look at the continuum of the Torah scroll. Okay? Look at the Torah. We read Sefer Bereishis. What is the last pasuk of Sefer Bereishis? What geographical location is described at the end and the last pasuk of Sefer Bereishis? The answer, right? The last word of Sefer Bereishis is Vayachantu Asom Vayisem Barom Bimitzrayim. Chazak, chazak. Vinis chazek. It's my son's bar mitzvah parsha, right? That is what we arrive at, right? After the Sefer Bereishis, the first Sefer, right? The end of the first section of world history, Jewish history is over. And where do we end up? In Mitzrayim. Where does Sefer Shmos, the last word, the last pasuk of Sefer Shmos? Right? Right? Again, the last words. Leinei kol beis Yisrael b'chol maaseyem chazak. That's it. This week's parsha. B'chol maaseyem. We started off. We were in Gan Eden, right? Sefer Bereishis ends. We're in Mitzrayim. Then where do we go from there? In all the journeys, of the Jewish people throughout the desert, and then the last pasuk, the last words of Sefer Vayikra. Eila mitzvot asher tzivo Adonai es Moshe el b'nei Yisrael behar Sinai. Shkoyach. Took a lot of siyumim today. So that's it. First Mitzrayim. Then we go to B'chol Maseihem. And then we get to Har Sinai. And then Parshas Maaseh, Sefer Bamidbar closes. We finally get to Eile Hamitzvot Vamishpatim Asher Tziva Adonai B'Yad Moshe El B'nei Yisrael B'Arvois Mayav Al Yarei Nirechai. Okay, beautiful. Thank you very much. You make a kiddush. So far, we have four kiddushes to make here. Okay, so that's it. You get to Arvas Mov, Al Yarden Yerecho, and then finally we get to Sefer Dvarim and Parshas Vezos Habracha ends. The last pasuk in the Torah, the last chumash of the Torah ends. Ulechol Hayad Achazaka, Ulechol Hamera Gadol, Asher Asa Moshe. Leinei Kol Yisrael. That's it. Now we finished the whole Torah. So we move from Mitzrayim to B'chol Ma'aseihem, to Har Sinai, to Arvas Moav Al Yadein Yerecho, to Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. This is the continuum of the story of Jewish history. This is the story of the Bible. This is the story of the Jewish people. That's it. This is the destination. This is the mamish to be a Jew, you know. Be a Jew, see the world. You know, unfortunately, we go from place to place, to bounce from place to place to place. And you know what? I think about this on Tisha B'Av. I'll tell you why. You know, it's like, I'm sorry to say it, it's like, forgive me, but it's like those movies. You know, it's like every movie. And what happened in the movie? The guy, you know, his mom got sick. His mom got sick, she couldn't work. When she couldn't work, you know, so then they got evicted from their apartment. When they evicted their apartment, what happened? You know, they ended up living in this place. Because they lived in this place, they were compromised, and they were on the streets, living in this little place, and then this guy started up for them and took advantage of them. Because he took advantage of them, so then the poor kid was scarred, and all he wanted to do was try to, you know, do something to make a buck. Because he tried to make a buck, he was taken advantage of. And then he got hurt. And then he got beaten up. And then he was, and then he got beaten up. He never learned how to, you know, whatever, read or ride the bike or did that, you know. And that's it. And then because of that, got a nebuch. And look what happens. Right? It's a terrible story, right? And in the end, what are you going to cry about? Right? It sucks for him, right? It really sucks for him. Right? And in the end, the poor guy, he's disadvantaged. Right? He's poor. He's sick because he didn't have enough medicine. Because he didn't have a job. Because he went to school. Because he had to take care of his mom. Because that, whatever, all the things. You know, that's where life happens. So one second. So where is the tzara? Where is the tzara? Right? Where is the story happening? There's so many pieces and so many difficult challenges and so many difficult parts. What does it all come back to? It all has to do with the fact that they lost their way. Right? They lost their way. This original thing that they you know, this terrible thing went wrong and they got kicked out and their whole life, they're just trying to make it back to have a decent life. That's it. And that's Rabbi Sai, Davi Levine, I have news for you. Your whole existence as a Yid is just within this context of this story. Everything you are, everything you come from, and everywhere where you should be going to, is just revolves around this story. Who are you, and what are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to become? Ultimately, it's the same answer for every Jew, every person. I got kicked out of, kicked out of Israel. We misbehaved. I'm trying to figure out a way to get back. We're trying to bring Mashiach. We're trying to get back to Eretz Israel. That's it. That's it. Right? That is it. That's the story. And that's the story of the Mishkan. Rabbi Yisai, what do we find in our parsha? Here's the chizik part of the shir. Okay, now that we realize that everything we know is just you're never going to arrive at your destination. Right? You know, like your GPS goes, and you type in the GPS and it goes, you arrived at your destination. Right? Sheker! Tell him, Rabbi Willick, say, Shakran! Liganel! Tell him, Rabbi Willick says they're a liar. Right? Right? What are you talking about? You arrived at your destination. You did not. Right? Although, what's that stupid joke about the guy who was going to a funeral? He was looking for a grave, so he got to a cemetery, and then they says, you've arrived at your destination, you know, your final destination. Like, ouch. Okay. So, that's not true. It's not true. Our final destination is to get back into God's embrace. To get back into God's arms. To get back into God's land. This is true both in time. This is true both in space, as far as where we live, and in time. You think you live in Gullus. Turn it off. You think you live in Gullus? You don't. You've been on the road, right? The wandering Jew. You're the wandering Jew, and it's a long story. It's a long story. And the Jew is always spontaneous. The Jew is always spontaneous and aware that at any moment he might need to unpack his bags. It's in our blood. And uproot our tents, dismantle our home, and move on elsewhere. And we are part of that story. We're the next chapter. Right? We're just the next chapter in the story of Jewish history. And up until now, our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents down the line, they tried and they were on their way back. But guess what? We live in an unbelievable time in Jewish history. What are you doing? We live in a time where you can actually be the guy to bring it home. It's the most amazing thing. You can actually be the person to close the story. Isn't that an unbelievable idea, I'm telling you? You don't appreciate it. But your great-great-grandparents literally would give their right arm. They would die in a second for it. They would give up everything for it. Right? This is what they davened, you know, the way your grandparents davened to get their Eretz Yisrael. And now it's nothing. And now the irony of ironies. We're so stuck on the back of the whale. We're so comfortable, we don't even... We're like, you know what? Forget about it. We're not really so interested. You know how painful that is to someone who understands Jewish history? That is something which is so terribly sad, so painful. So painful. So this is the time, you know, especially in your own lives, you're for the first time you're actually living in Eretz Yisrael. Even if it's only for a year or two. But you get to fall in love. You know, you get to fall in love with this is the spot. You got it. You're here, you made it. But I want to share with you, I told you this is the inspiring part of the share. You know, just so far I'm just explaining to you what's actually happening in your life. What it means to be a Yid. But I want to share with you one thought, okay, one idea before we close. And that is which our Parsha spells out, and that's why we see it here. The significance of... It's very hard to journey. We've been journeying for hundreds and thousands of years. What do we have to hold on to? We say, David HaMelech says, you know, it's a pasuk which is so meaningful to me. Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayei. I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs. It's one of my favorite Jewish songs. Shifti b'veis Hashem. I love that song. I love it. I sing it for hours. I love that song. Shifti b'veis Hashem. I love that song. Shifti b'veis Hashem is a pasuk which seems ridiculous. If you actually read it and you understand what David is saying, it seems ridiculous and totally unreasonable. Hashem, I have one thing to ask of you. I never want to leave your house. Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayei. I want to stay in your place, in your house, in the Beis HaMikdash forever. Is that reasonable? Mr. Lever, is that reasonable?
No.
What do you mean? You're the king of the people. You have to go to battle. You have to sit on legislature. You know, you have to go to balls and parties and you have to go on the speaking circuit and diplomatic meetings, and you have all kinds of things to do. How does it make any sense? And we say also, Shiv Tveiz Hashem, you want to live in Hashem's palace forever? What do you mean? Like you call your mom and say, Mom, I'm chaining myself to the Kotel, you know? I'm never coming home, sorry, you know? You know? Right? You know, my name used to be, you know, Dovi Liva. Now, my name is Dovi Lev. My Lev is Lev Hashem. My name now is Dovi Lev Yerushalayim. Lev HaMishkan. I'm going to be here forever. I'm never coming home. Look, what do you mean? You gotta get married. You gotta get a job. You gotta go to work. What does that mean? What does that mean? That's not practical. You know what the pshat is? Rav Hirsch says it beautifully. Take this with you. You know what it means? David HaMelech is not saying, I want to actually move into your house forever. It means that I want that my bias should be a Beis Hashem forever. Wherever I live, even if it's going to be in Africa, even if it's going to be in Southeast Asia, okay, like you, okay, no matter where I live, my house is going to be a Beis Hashem. My house is going to be have a Mishkan. Is going to be a Mishkan. Do you understand that the Torah's message in our parasha is that the Mishkan was portable? God would move from place to place with the Jewish people. That means you could have a Beis HaMikdash, at least conceptually, a Beis HaMikdash in
Kadesh,
in, go down the list of you know, in Kadesh Barnea, in Midbar Sin, in what, right? In, Yatvatsa, go down the list of all the, every place you ever were, in New York, in France, in Italy, wherever you are, in Germany, wherever you might be, you can have a Mishkan, you can have a Beis Hashem. And how is this symbolized? Again, Rav Hirsch, this is famous, right? That the Pasuk, the Mepharshim say this, the Rishonim say it even, that the Pasuk which describes the Luchos, the Aron Kodesh, how was the Aron? What was one of the mitzvahs, and the chiyuvim of building an Aron? It's actually a mitzvah losa. Say, you have to build badim in the Aron, and you're not allowed to take out the badim. So what were you going to say? Yeah, exactly. You're not. It's an issur d'oraisa to take the poles out of the Aron Kodesh. You know why? What were the poles used for? For carrying. For carrying. Because you needed to carry the Aron Kodesh wherever we were. Because whenever Am Yisrael would be moving, the Torah moves with you. The point is that even when we travel, we're in God's arms, and we live in God's arms, and we die in God's arms, and to be buried in God's arms, so to speak, people want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So look at the people. Till today we live this. Jews in the Gullus understand this. Till today, for hundreds of years, Jews have been, right, they bring their bodies, if they're able to, they bring their bodies to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. To get back, that is the ultimate destination. Right? That's what Yosef did. He traveled around the desert for 40 years, his bones. I love that. I have so many thoughts about that story. I've referenced it, I've touched on it, drop here as well. We take the bones of the Shvatim, the bones of Yaakov, all the Shvatim, and carry them around for 40 years. Why? Because they realized the Mitzrayim, that wasn't their place, Mitzrayim. They were on a journey. Yeah, but they lived in Mitzrayim for 80 years, for 100 years. So what? It's not, even if you live in, the Jewish people lived in Europe, in Germany, for 1,000 years. They lived in Europe for 1,000 years. So what? Look at it today. You think we're married to, you think we're married to Europe? What type of relationship did the Jewish people have in Europe today? But you know what? Guys, here's the news. Here's the point that you have to remember. Not because I'm a naysayer, God forbid, or I'm predicting the apocalypse, or God forbid, predicting, hoping for anti-Semitism. Chas v'shalom. But just understand something. Have you ever heard of Chachev? Right?
Yeah.
Could be there were like 50, 100,000 Jews in Chachev. But everyone was murdered and killed, right? Have you ever heard of Preslau? Have you heard of anything? There's no Jews there. But you know what I mean? They were there for 1,000 years, thousands of Jews. That's all nice. But that wasn't their place. That was just a station. They were on a journey. Do you really believe that New York, I come from New York, there are 8 million people in New York and like almost like a million Jews or something in New York, or maybe 2 million Jews. In New York alone, it's nuts, right? Outside of Israel, I think the biggest population in the world. And we really think, because that's where I grew up, that's what I know, those are my streets, those are my peeps, that's my spot. Do you really think that? Mr. Los Angeles, do you really think that you belong in Los Angeles? Do you think that at the end of, you think your great grandparents came from Los Angeles and your great grandchildren are going to live in Los Angeles? Halavai, we should be safe for as long as we can be safe. But that's not our place. It's important to understand this, understand this context. What do we need? What do we have to make sure what we do? If you happen to be there, you happen to be there. But realize that you're just traveling. And you have to carry the Torah with you. Carry the Luchos with you. Carry the
carry the what do you call it? The Aron Kodesh with you. Wherever you go. The sign, you know, the Nazis knew this, saw this many times. The sign of the Jewish people leaving their town was what? They would call all the Jews together, and what would they do? Well, you have to leave. Right? So what would they do? What could they take? Could they take their homes? No. They take their kids, right? They take their wives, and they run to the shul, and they take the Sefer Torah, and then they're off. They fill in if they can, and that's it. What else do they take with them? What does a Jew take with them? What does a Jew take with them? A real, a responsible Jew really only travels with one thing. That's it. Because Torah, the model of the Mishkan, the model of our parasha is that you can be Jewish for better or worse, even in Gullus. We don't want to be in Gullus, but if you have to be in Gullus, until you can find your way back home, you're not, you don't have to be by yourself. You don't have, it's true, you're in Gullus, but you don't have to be without God. Hashem goes with you. Take the Mishkan with you. Take the Luchos with you. Take the Aron Kodesh with you. Take your Sefer Torah with you, as the Jews did for thousands of years, even in Europe, when they went from place to 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 place, you know, I don't know, well over 100 times. Right? So, that's it. This is how the Jewish people survive. How do we survive? People ask, how in the world do we have you guys even survived so many years of Gullus? So much pain and suffering. You know what the answer is? That the Jewish people themselves realized, the Jews who realized that anyway they didn't belong there. Anyway they didn't belong there. So they never really entrenched. They never really settled there. You know what the Gemara says? The Gemara in the first Perek of Brachos. The Gemara tells us on that pay. It's okay. The Gemara tells us that there's different ways to die. I guess we'll stop with this. On this happy note. There's different ways to die. The Gemara says there's different ways to die. Some of the ways are extremely painful. Some of the ways are like nothing. Some people die. Here's what the Gemara says. The worst way is like taking a thorn, pulling a thorn out of a ball of cotton. Wool. Yeah, you know how hard it is to take like a prickly thorn out of the thing? It rips all the stuff out of it with it, right? You know what I'm saying? You have to like pull it out. It hurts, right? And then that's one way to die. The other way to die, the easiest way to die, the Gemara says, is like taking a hair out of a cup of milk. It just comes right out, right? And the Mefarshim explain, what does that mean? People die in different ways? I mean, why? How does that work? And the Mefarshim say something very beautiful, very deep. Tzadik writes about it. It depends on how you live your life. If you dig into this world with your neshama, and you say, ah, I made it, I'm here I am. Right? You dig in with you chew, and you settle down, you put all your roots and foundations and money and everything into this place. So when after 120, when it comes time for your neshama to leave the world, it's like this huge Siamese twin operation, you know? How the heck are we going to extract you from this world? You're so engrossed, entrenched, involved, and stuck in Olam Hazeh. That's not where your neshama belongs. Your neshama belongs there. Your neshama was only on a journey in this world. It wasn't the real place. You're supposed to be in God's arms. To get you out of that, out of this world, is extremely painful. The neshama goes through a lot of tsar to get out of this world. But someone who, even while they're in this world, while they're living in Olam Hazeh, their neshamas are so close to Hashem, and they're so connected to their actual destination, that they say, listen, this is not, you know, I'm not really, okay, I'll move into a house, here I am, I'll eat, I'll drink, I'll do what I have to do, but this is just, you know, I'm journeying. So when you say to a guy like that, okay, time to travel, no problem. I was ready to travel the whole time. I never unpacked my bags. Right? I was ready to travel the whole time. It's true with the Jew in Gullus, coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why people say, you know what, I'm sorry to say it, but like that guy in Los Angeles, the people who would say, if Mashiach came right now, you know what, I'm not so interested. I have a nice job. Right? It's embarrassing to say, but you meet people who, if I say, Mashiach came right now, what would you do? You'd say, what would I do? I would stay here, you know? I live in Chicago. You know, I have a nice house, I have a nice car, I have a nice job. Like, Nebuch, the guy is so stuck, he has no idea what he just so settled down. That's the problem. Rabbi said, you with me? Here's a message. This is why at every wedding we talk about Yerushalayim. Right? When a person gets married, he talks about Yerushalayim. When a Jew lives and dies, he thinks about Yerushalayim. Everything's about it. Every Seder, right? Every time we daven, we face towards Yerushalayim. Every tefillah we say, we talk about Yerushalayim. So this keeps us, it reminds us, but now we're just on the journey. Even though it looks like we're settled, we're still longing to come back to Yerushalayim geographically, to come back into the embrace of God, physically, in the land of God, and ultimately after 120, with Mashiach, Tzidkenu, into the emotional, spiritual embrace of God. May it come and arrive speedily in our days. Thank you for listening.